I'm freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Go
fuck yourself. And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, and me, this is the ESE Podcast, your weekly AEW review and breakdown. Is Eat, Sleep, Elite, baby. Eat, Sleep, Elite, baby.
Baby.
We can start hitting babies again because Adam Cole, baby, is back. Speaking of Adam Cole, baby, where the fuck was he this week? I feel like he got forgotten. Anyway.
He was locked fucking, in a trunk.
Bro got fucking sent into the shadow realm, the astral fucking realm, bro. He's gone. Doctor Strange has him now, but fucking... Anyway,
I mean, let's just start a rumor. He was on Raw. Wait, what? Why didn't see him? You missed him then, buddy.
Adam Cole was on Raw this week. Every week he's not there. He's on Raw in the back. Anyway, so yeah, we had some good stuff this week. There was a Casino Gauntlet match. There was a triple threat qualifier for a Casino Gauntlet match for the women. There was also some really solidly good stuff on Collision. It's funny, I got to the end of this week with Collision, and I was like, I wasn't like down on it at all, but I was like, what's going to be on Collision that's really going to, you know, rustle my jimmies this week, you know? Kind of glad. I'll put it to you like this. I was glad that I was past my show in the week, that I'd done that on Wednesday night or whatever, you know what I mean? Because I was just like, it wasn't against it. I was just like, okay, I'm gonna watch this, but am I gonna be fully locked? You know what I mean? But I was. Every time I thought I was gonna unlock, I was like, damn, this match is really good. Even the last match of the night on Collision. So I'd say that's a pretty good indication that AEW is firing on all cylinders. Charlie, you think that's indicative that the deletion of Rampage maybe cleaned up some of the booking a little bit?
It could have. And, you know,
I mean, it's 2 weeks in, right? Can we really know? You know what I mean? But yeah. Like,
I thought they nailed all 4 hours, and I think that's what matters, right?
Yeah, so. Basically that's kind of the point that I'm making here. It's just like, I feel like I can already see it a little bit. Charlie, let's jump into favorites this week, right? I mean, we always like to start out the show with our favorite stuff, and I already mentioned it at the top. And we had our Casino Gauntlet match on Dynamite this week for a shot at Jon Moxley at Maximum Carnage in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Carnage.
You know, I still think Maximum Carnage would be a great comic line for Marvel to steal the name of, even though it's DC owned, you know, or DC, you know, is in the DC. Yeah, basically, AEW is a DC Elseworlds story at this point. Anyway,
I can buy into that.
Yeah, I mean, they are canonically in DC Comics. I'm not, you know, I didn't do this, they did it, you know what I mean? Anyway, I say canonically, people are probably like, actually, it's a fucking one-off, what-if type run. It's like, shut up, I don't even care, but, you know. So, our number one in this match was obviously Shay White, who obviously, you know, managed to sneak that W last week with the Blade Runner. And obviously, you know, somebody's rigging these numbers, Charlie, because his biggest rival currently was number two.
Of course.
You know what I think happened there, buddy? I think Hangman Page went up to the numbers guy and said, I don't care what number you drew me, you're putting me at two.
Threaten his life? No, I would buy into that.
I could see him doing that, even if that's not the real storyline, like something, oh, it's just a random draw. It's like with the Royal Rumble.
See, if I produced, like, if I was, like, in AEW,
you could just do that
on,
backstage,
like, TikTok,
segment, right?
I would literally, those are the kind of segments you'd put on TikTok, because it would work. It would work every fucking time.
Yeah.
Just strong arming the guy.
Oh yeah, no, dude. It feels like the kind of thing he would do right now, and especially with the promo that he ends up cutting later on this week, it really would have played into it nicely. You know what I mean? But obviously, this is just a random idea that I had. You know what I mean? So, but I was just thinking about that. I was like, you know, in my head, that's how I justify it. This is how much legwork I do for AEW in the background. But hey, you know, sometimes you got to do it, you know? But yeah, so then obviously our number three entrant was then Wheeler Yuta, I weirdly kind of got lost in this match to me, I'll be honest. I mean, he was a part of it, but I just feel like I didn't really notice him in particular in this match, which is unfortunate. I wonder if we can diagnose what the problem with Wheeler is, because he's always been good and he's established as like a top talent at this point, but he just doesn't do
maybe
anything.
It's something within the group, you know. It's just maybe there's a connection within the group that they're not making him feel like a big deal.
Yeah.
Because he's been at the top of the game for a long time. And not to completely sidetrack us or backtrack us, what you were just saying of doing the legwork. And that idea kind of sticks with me a little bit because it's like, as our just being a core fan of wrestling, right? The thing I always go back to is fantasy booking. And in a way, that's kind of what we were just doing with filling in those gaps. And I think that's just a core of what makes us like gets us excited about talking about what's next or how could this have happened. And I do think that is, I don't know. I feel like that's a common thing that I feel like gets people excited to talk about wrestling. It's those little things like that, you know?
So, I mean, like you also like, it's like, if you don't do that, I mean, this is generally what I do.
No, but you can, view it as a negative.
Oh,
it could
100%.
Be seen as a negative.
It could
but
be
because
then
be
they're not
as...
being told. But I also don't think wrestling is good when you have somebody blatantly. Like I think when wrestling gets too talky, like too we're telling you every aspect of the story, it can get to the point where it doesn't connect as much in terms of like.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm not finding the exact phrasing here that's right. But
you don't want it fucking bagging you over the head just. This is what you have to watch. This is what you're focusing on.
Right.
Sometimes
letting us fill in those gaps is better. I mean,
like, why
a perfect example is,
you know, that
I often say in horror movies, not showing the monster for a good portion of the movie generally will add to some of the experience of watching what, or even Art the Clown's kills in the Terrifier series. You sometimes don't see the violence, even though it's a very violent, gory movie. You won't see it until the aftermath sometimes because while the violence is happening, they want you to imagine what can be. Actually, that's the best scene in Terrifier 2, is you don't see what's happening until you do see what's happening. But at first, you don't know what's happening, and your mind just races about what he's doing. You know what I mean?
You can compare that as, look at all the marketing for Nosferatu, right? They never showed the fucking Dracula. Whereas, look at all the marketing for Wolfman. They came out of the gate showing you the guy. There is different ways of looking at this.
And I actually think it's funny. I've seen trailers for both, and I actually am excited. I was excited to see both for completely different reasons. Yeah. And, but they did went two different directions with it. That just proves it. And that's two, you know, arguably two, you know.
And I think you can really apply that to wrestling.
You
can fill in these gaps, and you can have a lot of fun, or, you don't have to.
You called it a sidetrack, but I actually am glad we went into that, because
it was
a good discussion point, because it is worth bringing up when – because I think a lot of times wrestling fans can get, like, into these ideas, and they believe, like, as them as set in stone, and, like, even wrestlers probably fall into this sometimes. Mm-hmm. But the reality is wrestling is a constantly changing, constantly shifting business. Just the crowd you're in is constantly
You
got to
be
changing.
Loose.
You got to be willing to flip on the fly. And, you know, and I'll give him credit. You know, who's the best? One of the best at that is Cody Rhodes. He in the middle of a match with fucking Malakai Black, he switched to being a fucking heel because he was getting booed so bad. And they were like, you know what? Let's just roll with it.
Yep.
Not everybody's willing to do that.
Mm-mm.
But sometimes the wave catches you instead of you catching the wave, you know, and so you just have to lean into it. Someone who I think caught the wave is our next entrant, which was Swerve Street. Just kidding. It's fucking Ricochet. Anyway.
Brilliant. So
dude,
good.
They are nailing this presentation with Ricochet right now.
100%.
He's going to be one of the most diabolical villains in AEW, and it's going to be awesome. Like, I mean, we should have known that when he was stabbing the guy that was also stabbing people in the head, right? But, like, you know, at the same time, you just don't know. Like, that's just what, you know, that could have just been, like, a one-off, like, hey, we're establishing this guy as a bad guy so no one can question it, you know what I mean? But, no, I actually think Ricochet is going to nail this. Not that I didn't think he was going to, but you just never know how the presentation's going to come across, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very, very loved all that. And then, of course, our next entrant is Adam Cole at number 5. He then hits a super – I called it a super duper kick on Ricochet because that's an accurate way to describe it. It wasn't just a super kick. It was – it had some duper in there. You know what I mean? But, and then he immediately hit a Panama Sunrise, and I was like, oh, no, Adam's done for this match. I wasn't wrong either.
GG's. No, GG's.
That's his hair spot right there. You know what I mean?
Wait, Adam Cole was here.
Yes.
Ah, shit.
Yep.
He wasn't on Raw. Delete the rumor. Don't let it hit the press.
Don't. That's true. I forgot he was in this match. I literally wrote that in my notes. Look, this is why I said, where was Adam Cole? Because this is always, I don't think I saw him again after this match. No, wait.
It's a long bit. That was the bit.
Yeah.
We spread the rumor just to say, where'd he go?
Yeah, he's gone. He left. Where'd he go? He was in this match. I don't think I saw him after this point.
Oh, that's good shit.
You know, that's one of those bits that we weren't planning, but it just fucking worked perfectly. You know what I mean?
I'm in.
Shout out Adam Cole on Raw. This actually got me really excited though, because that kind of built the crowd up. This is kind of the perfect booking of this Casino Gauntlet like build. I think we've discussed why it works so well, but like this is an example. You have that Panama Sunrise and the crowd's like, holy shit, that was awesome. And then like a few minutes later, Danny comes out to a massive pop at number six. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think there's a connection there. You know what I mean? The crowd was still riding that high off that big spot. And then they were like, oh my God, it's Daniel Garcia. You know what I mean? So anyway, I loved when he got, I didn't write down who it was, but he had two people in the corner. He was doing his punches, you know? And Daniel and Wheeler, we're gonna have to run that back for that title, I guess, because they had some sauce there. You know what I mean? It's funny. Yeah, this is weird with Wheeler. People remember what Wheeler's done and they know who he is. So when he gets across from someone like Danny, he's got history with. I mean, it's kind of tough with them because they kind of feuded for like a year on the indies, right? When they were both first getting their, you know, one was JAS and one was in the BCC, you know? But like, at the same time, I don't know. We could still run that one back. I mean, I feel like there's at least one person for everybody in AEW that you're just going to eternally be doing the dance with, right? You know?
So, yeah.
And for Adam Page.
I was a little
Page,
worried for a second couple. Danny was going to do the hit the fucking hump on all four guys in the corner or whatever it was. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah, that could
not
be like bad.
This.
Yeah, that could have been not good.
But we didn't. Oh. You know, you only want to hit the hump on one.
100%.
Once you start doing it at the four, it gets a little fucking ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Who are we kidding? It's a hump in the corner. It's always ridiculous, but it's fucking funny on one.
Oh, yeah. We had a Hobbs come in at 7. He yeeted Ricochet. I think I wrote it down wrong. I think he threw him like over the top rope or something like
that.
Yeah,
he probably
but I could
did. Lunge that motherfucker.
Either that or I do know at one point he was just yucking people around in this match and just fucking throwing them for a fucking loop.
He was booked like the big god.
Yes. Daniel Garcia dropkick Wheeler, who you just so hard at one point he broke the barricade. And that's not even cap. Go back and watch the clip. He dropkicked him so hard and the barricade broke. You can't tell me that didn't happen because of the dropkick. So we had oh my God. I think this was a Ricochet sell. It was a sell on a Hobbs lariat. I think that was a Ricochet. It could have been Danny, though. Either way, someone sold the shit out of a lariat from Hobbs. It probably was Ricochet. It might not have been Ricochet. It was somebody. Somebody was in there selling like fucking madman. So we had this spot where Roddy came in at 8 and then immediately teamed up with Danny and fucking Adam Cole, and they stomped a fucking mud hole. And let me see, who did they do that to? And to Ricochet. We had Lance Archer coming in at 9. That's about all you're gonna see from Lance Archer was him coming in at 9. I don't think he had a single thing in this.
Meat chance. That's about it.
Yep. He was meeting it up. We had a little bit of meat mash. Oh, this is what I was talking about. Okay. So Ricochet got tossed back and forth a couple different times by Lance Archer and Hobbs. Again, Ricochet could have easily come in as a guy that would never have been willing to let somebody do that to him after the way he was treated in the WWE. And the fact that we're doing this with the guy while he's on his way up right now, you know, tells me that this guy is fully embracing everything right now. He knows the business well enough to know that, hey, maybe it'd be really cool for me if I could beat one of these guys or something, right? Or knock one of them out or something, right? Or you know, but then I get beat by the other one, right? But what if they just both just beat the shit out of me and that took me out of the match and my own arrogance got in my way, you know? That is just, again, like you never know how people are going to be when you know, you always talk about, oh, well, we know how talented he is in the ring, but what's he going to do when we have to tell a story? Yep. I feel like he's in a good spot right now.
Combine that with how great he looked last week.
Yeah, 100%. So I refer to it as a Ricochet toss off because that's what they did. They were having a fucking Ricky throwing contest. You know what I mean?
And it doesn't hurt the angle last week with Swerve or anything if this happens.
No.
He's
just going to give him shit for it.
He's
like,
been
bro,
getting his ass kicked in this match, and this he's allowed to take some bumps by our next world champion contender.
Yes.
And by Lance Archer, who's been booked
as
a
next
monster
world champion,
since,
Charlie. You don't know.
Since the day he walked in this company, Lance Archer's been booked as a mega god, a big, big, like, meat man. So, not god. I mean, he's not, I don't even think he's won a fucking belt, but as a big man, so.
Okay, so I mentioned Wheeler kind of just is not noticeable in this match. So we had Kyle O'Reilly come in at 10. Again, didn't really do much. It's weird. We had all three of...
He just beat up Yuta. That was it. Yeah, all I remember.
We had all three of the members of the, you know, Undisputed Kingdom that are single stars in this match. And not one of them. There was a little cute little spot where they all looked at each other like, hey, what do we do here? Hey, we're all friends, you know? But other than that, you know... Not any of them really did anything. That's why I said Adam Cole kind of disappears in this match. Like, that's the last time we see him is when he has his cute little spot with the boys, you know what I mean? But where they're like, oh my God, we're all friends. We can't fight each other. Even though they were all fighting each other literally like a month ago, but whatever, you know? And we got a good pop for Jeff Jarrett at 11. This was Wheeler's spot in the match. He ran up the ramp and murdered him and removed his chance to be in the match by taking him to the back. So that was Wheeler's rub in this match, was to cost Jeff Jarrett his opportunity. So it looks like Jeff Jarrett's going down a similar road to like the last rites or last rite, the last ride, if you will, of the of one of the greatest to ever do it in Shawn Michaels. So I mean, it's rare air to be in. So if this is the path we're heading, it's gonna be tough because Shawn Michaels is in a lot better ring shape. No offense to Jeff Jarrett, he just was. You know what I mean? Because he was a little bit younger. You know what I mean? So. It'll be interesting to see how they go with that. I mean, they've definitely set Jeff Jarrett up for an interesting story. Whether or not it'll keep Tony Khan's attention the whole year or long enough till next year or however long the contract, you know, extends to, we'll have to see. It's one of those things where Sting and Bryan Danielson on their own can sustain that. I don't know if Jeff Jarrett has that kind of energy behind his career anymore. I just don't know. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just wondering, you know what I mean? So after that, And we had a crazy spine buster from Hobbs to secure the win. So something that I thought was a little weird, Charlie, was that Swerve was in the triple threat, right? To fucking get into the number one spot in this match, right?
Yes.
So the only way he was going to be in this match is if he won that match, is how I'm supposed to take this.
Well, the way AEW's always put it is Swerve could have been entrant number 12. They keep going until someone wins, right? It just all depends on what card.
Okay, so hypothetically, he could have been in the match. Just
hypothetically,
wasn't.
Yes. So that's the way AEW's always framed it to us.
See, now my question would be, Charlie, why would Roddy, who got pinned in that match, end up getting an earlier spot than the
He's
guy?
He's got a better
who...
draw. He just got a better
what
draw.
They'd be like, given an even draw.
Someone
though,
might
Roddy
be rigging the draw for all we know, and that's well, why I'd like to see an angle about that.
That would
I
be
think
good.
That would be fun.
That would be good if they could somehow work that angle. They'd have to figure that out. But
like maybe fucking MVP is still a little salty about Swerve beating Lashley, right? Swerve did beat Lashley, I believe. Yeah, well, that's what my headcanon remembers it as. Even if he didn't, maybe he's still salty about what happened with the Swerve feud, so he fucking rigged it and drew Swerve like number 36 or something.
Yeah,
it
would
have been
know.
After Aaron Solo for all we know.
Literally,
you know?
That would be pretty funny. No, I mean, I don't know. It does seem weird that they were like, I've never been in a Casino Gauntlet match. Guys, he still hasn't. You know, it was a little weird. Why draw attention to that specifically if you're going to then not have him be in the match? I understand. It's supposed
maybe
to
for
be
the
like,
Ricochet bait? It could have all been for that.
That works.
Psych!
So, you know?
It worked, though, for the Ricochet thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll have to see.
Want to hit the post match? Well, I guess it goes into another angle, so we can do it later. No, get the Hobbs promo, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's pretty short. He just says that he's going to make John Moxley his bitch when he's going to shock the world next week, and he's going to turn John Moxley into his bitch. That's pretty much all he has to say. Really had a good reaction to it, you know? That's pretty much...
That's putting Hobbs over right there.
Yes.
That's a big promo.
Yes.
He called John Moxley a bitch.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody call John Moxley a bitch the entire time I've been watching wrestling.
To his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Right after he hit that big spine buster, he was getting chants during the match.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is the time we should talk about Hobbs, because this could be like the main subject of today, really.
Sure, why not? I'm not.
But, I mean, yeah, fuck it, right off the rip. Hobbs has had a couple years now of pretty up and down booking, and we've been covering it frequently. We talk about the highs and we've talked about the lows. We've talked about getting blood swept off the porch, and we've talked about he just won the TNT championship and now we're doing QTV with it. There has been highs and there's been lows. It's always been dicey booking. You want to fix dicey booking in a heartbeat? You put the fucking championship on him. And I got to, and something that's always stuck with me about Hobbs is, and this is when Dax had his podcast for 6 weeks, funny enough, but he would always talk about how everyone loved Hobbs and how Hobbs is one of those guys that everyone in the back really got along with. And that has always stuck with me, which is why I'm not surprised that they're teaming next week, or this week, I guess, if you're in line with AEW. That's why I'm not surprised that FTR and Hobbs are teaming together, because we've known for a couple of years now how great of friends they all are. And when I hear stuff like that, and with Darby being gone out of the picture now, I mean, has there ever been an easier opportunity to birth a main eventer than right now? Like, the crowd's already chanting for him. He was getting the chance at the pay-per-view. What more could you want? And you've booked him strong. He was so young in AEW, and you had him go out there and have like a fucking 17-minute match with Hangman Adam Page as like his first or second loss. Like, this is someone you'd probably consider homegrown. He came through Dark.
Yeah, I think you have through, to, because I can't think of anywhere else.
Because he's one of the guys that came through, right? AEW Dark and then showed up on TV more. And I don't, as far as I know, he wasn't in like NWA.
He probably was
TNA
an indie known guy, but like beyond the indies, what was he known? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's my question.
So goes to route for him, I don't know. It seems easy. And if he's calling Moxley a bitch, we can't overlook this. This is the AEW champion that's holding the company hostage. So I don't know. If you think
about the way this run started, it started chaotically with an unexpected twist that nobody saw coming.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody in their minds thinking in their heads that, other than like the people that really want Hobbs to win like us, right? But I don't think anyone's thinking, oh my God, Hobbs is about to win the title. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people are thinking, okay, this is Hobbs, you know, getting the one of the couple title shots that are going to happen between the now and the next pay-per-views, right? But I think it started chaotically and suddenly. It could end chaotically and suddenly. And it, you know, we've been talking about we need a ripcord to pull right now at this Moxley.
You want to
title
inject
rank.
Some life into your top program? I mean, imagine what this would do to Moxley if he lost to Hobbs.
You have to be willing to tell Hobbs' story, though. And I hate to be this way, but it seems like they've never been willing to do that for whatever reason, you know, like, so I don't know how. That's my only concern, is that we get the title on him and then we don't know what to do next. And we've had that problem in AEW before. It's not pretty, you know? So, I mean, I don't think they would do that. I don't think they would just hotshot it. But that is my only concern when we start talking about hotshotting championships.
I just don't think this would be a hotshot.
No. I mean, like, getting it off the guy we don't want it on right now because we don't know what we're doing with him. Like, you know,
like the biggest complaint I could see is you just had him lose on the pay-per-view. Right? He lost to Takeshita, who is arguably, in their eyes, you know, a top three, top four, top guy, whatever, because he's holding the championship right now. So he has to be seen as that kind of level of guy.
I mean, if Hobbs loses this, I mean, he's dead in the water. I'm sorry. I'll just keep it a buck. You know what I mean? Like, he'll
if
be
he
still
loses
popular,
this, he's back to the tag division, probably. And I don't think... Let's also put this out there. They missed the ball on Wardlow. That would be another homegrown big guy. He can sell all the merch. He's you know, all that stuff. Don't miss it again. Like, and I think you can have Hobbs lose this and then maybe continue with Hobbs through Grand Slam. Maybe wrap it back. But then you got the whole Cope thing. Moxley has an entire feud going on right now with Adam Copeland. So I just don't know. I don't know. I think if you want to inject a lot of life into your program, and especially for this, for someone that I think everyone would embrace and they want to embrace, I don't know. It'd do a lot more good than it would bad. Because this is not someone that has been like at the bottom of the card ever. Hobbs has never been that guy.
See, here's my problem, though, is, like, I don't think... Do you think we would do Adam Copeland versus Hobbs as the... Because I don't think he's going to just leave Jon Moxley be.
I think you'd probably do Kyle Fletcher versus Hobbs.
Ooh.
I think you'd go somewhere along that route. You might do Swerve versus Hobbs. There's a lot of options.
That one would be fun.
Bring that back. Like, I think Adam Copeland, I think he wants Moxley more than anything. And they still they're mentioning those trios belts a lot more when Rated FTR are on screen. So I have to imagine that's a big part of this angle, too.
Yeah, I mean, if he loses the title, I mean...
And you could just do fucking Hobbs and Kenny Omega if you really want. Who's going to complain? This is AEW.
We can't do that to fucking Hobbs instantly.
This is AEW. This is where the best wrestle. That's the whole fucking thing, right? Send him out there. I'd fucking have him defend the title on Collision. Just let's do the goddamn thing. All right, but no, I was really excited he won. To me, this sets up a precedent that I don't think I've never seen this potential in AEW to actually, and I'm fully aware this could be clear delusion, but I've never seen this potential in AEW to actually have a title change on Wednesday.
Hey, hear me out.
This sounds stupid as fuck, Charlie,
but Adam Copeland's all about people in the back and getting the young people up, and that's one of the things he talks about, right? He's in that stage of his career. What's one place where there's lots of young people right now where they're struggling to get stuff off the ground with anybody that's not one person? Ring of Honor. He's in contention for that title right now, potentially. You know what I mean? So, hear me out. Jon Moxley loses his title to Hobbs. He still continues to feud with Adam Copeland because, of course, he wants to murder everyone that does anything to him. You know what I mean? Adam Copeland wins the Ring of Honor world title. He's not going to give Moxley a title shot just for no reason. Maybe if you got to do that, you got to do that. Because Adam Copeland does want to win another world championship. I mean,
there's a chance
he said
Jericho
that. He wouldn't say that if that wasn't true, right? Adam Copeland does want to win another world championship. But Jericho has been just content winning the world title in Ring of Honor for the last couple of years. You know what I mean? Yep. So I could see Adam Copeland also having a similar mindset, being like, hey, I might have missed the boat not being able to win it last year. Because I do think Adam Copeland would have won the world title last year, given the way that things ended up going. He probably could have had a chance of winning it at some point. Maybe not toward the end of the year, but especially if they ended up pulling the trigger on Christian Cage, which I think if he had been around, they probably would have. I think that's probably the only reason why you didn't do it, right? Because it feels like it would have been an easy bailout. So they must want to do something with Adam and Christian, you know what I mean, for the world title. That's the only thing I can think.
Well, I think we just wrote itself. You have Hobbs win, right? Death Riders start fucking beating him down. Everyone's freaking out. They can't believe there's a new champion.
Mm-hmm.
Out comes Rated FTR. They try and clear that, and then sneaky little Christian sneaks in, steals the title from Powerhouse Hobbs. We end the night, Christian Cage is world champion, and you're fucking, that's your main event program is then Hobbs and Christian, which would feel very fresh. It mm-hmm. would make a lot of sense.
Yep.
You can still do your Learning Tree versus Rated FTR, whatever the hell clusterfuck that all is.
Yep. Your blood and guts or whatever.
and technically, Hobbs just got Money in the Bank fucked over. Yep. If that could play into the babyface aspect, because a lot of his promos have been about how
difficult. Oh, and I just thought of a brilliant fucking way you can get Christian into Blood and Guts is by having Wheeler sit out purposefully, and that could build more animosity between Wheeler and the fucking Death Riders. Oh, but the story just writes itself, dude. See, this is why I say the Death Riders. While the Death Riders story itself sucks, it opens up so many opportunities for you to do stuff that you couldn't do otherwise.
I think it would be so much better if they didn't have the gold and they were chasing gold. I think
that's fair.
Would hit
on the chase,
harder.
They'd be awesome. You know what I mean? Because they'd be like,
I think
such
it would hit a lot harder than holding it hostage. Like, imagine if they were trying to come up with ways to steal the title from Christian, right? Or just something like that. We're trying to fuck over Hobbs. Yeah, look, I mean, we were talking about fantasy booking 20 minutes ago, and here we are. That's what this is all about, right? It's about having fun fantasy booking. Well, 30 minutes in, I guess we get to my favorite. I think you can tell we're having some fun today. We're also staying on Dynamite for me, and we're doing Will Ospreay versus Buddy Matthews. I thought this match was an absolute blast.
This guy got fucked last year. He had 5 insane matches in a row, and then Tony Khan said, no, you're not taking Will's Best Wrestler of the Year award away from him.
Not happening. And these guys came out here, first ever meeting between the two, and they had a really good opener. The crowd cared a lot, right? They were fully into it. We've been wondering kind of what's going on with Buddy in terms of he's been getting some singles action, and then he kind of dips away. But every time he's in a singles match, he kills it. And I thought this was really good from them.
By the way, when do the Wrestling Observer Year of the End shit? Did it already come out? Did we talk about it? Am I tweaking?
No, it hasn't dropped yet. I think it drops around February. They do all those votes and all that. They have a lot of shit with it.
Damn it, Meltzer, you work on my time, not yours.
But no, they worked. They had some insane chemistry together. They bounced off each other very well. High speed action, big hits. The curb stomp that he hit, it fucking really sold me. And Ospreay sold it like a god. So
better than half the ones that Seth ever hit.
Yeah, he sold it perfectly. And towards the end of the match, Ospreay hits the Styles Clash. He's eyeing him up, and Buddy Matthews has a smile on his face, knowing his fate. He eats the Hidden Blade. Ospreay wins 1-2-3. After the match, this was weird at first to me, but carry on. He grabs the mic. He puts over Buddy. He called it Buddy Murphy at first, which is kind of funny. He admired him. Said he and Brody King don't need to be following a leader. They can go about things by themselves. They can go for tag titles or singles if they choose. And if he ever needs someone by his side, Ospreay is his man. Shake hands and Ospreay goes to the back. So the first part of my brain, the negative part, I was thinking, oh my God, is Ospreay little broing Buddy Matthews right now? Please God, no. Like, is he making him feel like very small, you know, small man? Then I was like, wait a minute. No, he's not. He's actually offering a hand. Okay. And then I was like, oh shit. Okay. Let's follow this a little more here. Later that night, Sean Ross Sapp breaks some news about Malakai Black. It's like, oh, sounds like the word backstage was he was gone from AEW. People have been trying to confirm it. One person said they were close to confirming it, but there was neither confirmation nor denial. So everyone's like, oh, we're keeping it up in the air. Everyone has been expecting his contract to expire. Julia Hart was interviewed by Denise Salcedo, and she pretty much wishes Malakai best of luck in the future. Between this promo, between all of this.
And what Brody said on Collision, even.
Yeah, I think Buddy Matthews might be a single star going forward, which is incredible. He can swim with the fishes, and he can swim with the top guys in this fucking company when it comes to in-ring singles wrestling. He's always been able to, but he joined the company as a tag guy. We were here. We were doing our show when he joined. He was immediately thrown into the tag division. He is this good of a single star. He is championship caliber, even in AEW. This is a great direction for him.
My one regret is that the House of Black never fully felt like it ever happened. You know what I mean? Like,
no, just the one summer with the Trios belts. And I'm glad we had it.
We got that, and that was awesome.
I'm totally glad we had it.
Some of the best matches in Trios company
post
in history.
That, but it felt like we had the FTR feud last year.
Yep.
And then I can't really remember another one. And I think that's either a me problem or none of them were memorable.
Nah, they just never really got used. They would disappear for months at a time. I will say this, though. I think this is could not be a better time for both guys. If Malakai's going back to WWE right now, he will fit in perfectly with the people.
Oh, my God. Look at how much they're fucking jizzing over Penta.
Dude.
Like, Malakai will be brought back and be thrusted upon them like the star that he is. And he knows he can.
And I bet he'll be Malakai when he comes back this time, too. I bet he doesn't go back to being Alistair. I bet I would love for him to come in as Malakai Black and be his own thing. But either way. But the other thing is, for Buddy, this is – he matches – in the same way that I think Malakai matches the WWE's current style more than he does AEW's. Not that he couldn't work in AEW. He obviously can't. He's fucking Tommy End. But, you know. But he's never really wrestled.
Match with Copeland was awesome.
Absolutely, you know, he could still get there, but that's never been what he's been trying to do. Clearly, he's, you know, he wants to do something different. He wants to tell more stories, and WWE will allow him to do that now, probably. Whereas I think Buddy matches the in-ring style and energy of AEW to a T, and I think he's about to show everybody why we've been having him as a consistent in our top five for favorites numbers pretty much every of the last 2 years that he's been there. Because the guy's really good in singles. It's kind of like how Dax Harwood will have like five matches a year in singles that are like better than half the roster's singles matches.
You know,
yep.
Like,
just, yep.
He does the same thing, except he usually has a few more because he does like to do that singles wrestling stuff.
Yeah, and you know, I wonder if Ospreay extending his hand could be the foundation of perhaps a United Empire within AEW. We've teased it. We've even talked about him and Kyle Fletcher discussing we've been United Empire. United Empire in Japan has no leader, right? Whereas Bullet Club, they're not afraid to acknowledge that Bullet Club Gold is a part of the same faction. You have the partnership forever going. I would love if they really brought United Empire to AEW. And then it makes you wonder, could Buddy be the first person he brings in? But then I'm like, ah, do I really want Buddy in another group right away? That's a whole other thing. But United Empire would be able to treat him as a singles. And I was just like, I don't know, you bring in Buddy, you bring in Mark Davis, and maybe even Hobbs, because I was really liking the Davis and Hobbs tag team. But
well, let's say, if you're going to bob Hobbs back to the tag division, if he doesn't win the world title, yeah, that's a phenomenal tag team for him to be in. And I actually think he'd look good in the green gear, too.
He would. He'd look great. And even if he won the world championship and decided to need a backup, talk to Mark Davis. You get segments with him regrouping with Mark Davis, being like, you got my back. I know I got yours. And then they bring in Ospreay, and you just see, like, Buddy, like dude, there's ways you can tell
a really great story with Buddy just kind of looking sort of depressed in the background, like watching on from the distance. And then Will comes up to him and says, you can join us, man. We'll take you. You are really talented,
and
or something
like
that.
And then get back to faction warfare for 2025, yes, and dude, really let it cook.
Because we got a hot faction right now to fight against. So this is the time to have your factions.
We're already starting with good faction warfare with Learning Tree and Rated FTR and all this other shit. It is working for me.
And once MVP and his fucking Hurt Syndicate get cooking, it's going to really cook this year, I think. I hope.
It will. You know? It absolutely will. So, yeah. All right. I guess we have a little bit of news. Some of it I've already mentioned, but Darby Allin taking time off to prep for Mount Everest.
Thank God. The dude probably didn't need to be climbing Mount Everest right after working an insane schedule anyway. No. You know what I mean? Like,
no, yeah. Hopefully he does his thing, and I can't wait to see him. That's going to be
Darby
really
got himself rode off TV by getting thrown down by the fucking stairs with a chair on his neck and didn't die in the process or get re-injured. What a fucking animal.
Really, really cool to see. Athena has been reflecting on her first Stardom tour, and she pretty much said, this has reawakened my passion. She was also mentioning she wants Tekla to come to find her in the United States for a rematch.
Makes me kind of sad that even though she's been on top of Ring of Honor for the last few years, that she is starting to lose it a little bit, the passion. But at least we can do this with her. Tony Khan can see the writing on the wall. He's not completely forgetting about her, which means he probably will pull her out of that vortex this year, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, All In, before she could, you want to talk about someone that could go contend for the world title in her first match in AEW, since she's been champion at least. Yeah.
Fuck it. If Mariah's still champion by then, let's run it.
We had the talk of Malakai Black, but I didn't really dive further into that. I mean, look, I would never blame a wrestler ever, especially right now. When everything was greener for AEW, right? It's for guys like Ricochet, it still is. Make the jump. When everything's greener in WWE, like Penta, who's already got the catchphrase, that's the thing. He has a catchphrase already. That is one of the biggest things you need for WWE, is to be able to either A, talk, or B, have catchphrases. It works. So Penta is going to be a star there. And maybe Penta will be that Luchador World Champion we've been talking about for fucking almost a year now. Maybe it'll be him. You never know. Ross and Marshall Von Erich have announced that they signed with AEW. Again, they're current champions in Ring of Honor. I'm not too shocked by this. But I would like to see them maybe get the Collision route here, where we start to see them pop up on Collision and wreck some house here. And our last little bit of news we had today was New Japan actually did something kind of cool here. They announced pretty much their entire schedule for the year, Duke. And they also started announcing some of the newest card, which includes some AEW guys on there. So, you know, we've been dabbling into New Japan a little bit more, and I think we're probably just going to review this show anyways in February, because why the fuck
not? Nah, I mean, I said on Twitter, or on Blue Sky, sorry, I said on Blue Sky that I was gonna talk to you about potentially doing more. I haven't had that conversation with you yet, but I think it's fair.
No, I think we're not going to watch every show. We're going to review New Beginning. So.
Yeah, we're at the very least going to do what we did last year and give the first couple of shows at least a shot. And if we're just bored out of our fucking gourd, then we'll come back for the major shows like Dominion and stuff. But
like,
we always
we're not
the
worried about
shows.
The American shows too much. much. Yeah.
But we are going to at least, I will tell you this. This I will tell you right now, for those of you that are listening to this show. We are at least going to cover, we already covered Wrestle Kingdom. We're going to at least cover Dominion. And we're going to cover, if there's another big show like that, probably, you know.
We'll, new beginning.
So
whatever the hell that takes us to.
And if there's other ones we look at and we're like, damn, that looks like a good match, then maybe we'll at least watch those matches. But we maybe don't watch. It depends on what the rest of the shows look like. You know what I mean? But at least these major ones should be really good. So
here's the card for New Beginning in Osaka on February 11th. We have Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Togi Makabe. We have Shingo Takagi versus Drilla Maloney.
Damn.
Whoa. They retired the King of Pro Wrestling belt.
I saw that the other day.
Shota Umino versus Great Okan. Taichi versus Sonata.
All right, well, that should slap. The last time they fought, it was a fucking banger.
Championship match times. IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions Robbie Eagles and Kosei Fujita defend against Rocky Romero and Yo. Never Open Weight Champion Konosuke Takeshita defends against Oleg Bolton.
Bro,
dude!
No leg
that match
Oleg
is going to kick fucking ass. Bolton's number one match across the board, everywhere you look, is his match in the G1 against Takeshita. That's the match that people point to like, oh, Bolton might be really, really good. He's got something here. They're going to have a suplex contest, and it's going to be brilliant. IWGP Tag Team Champions, the Young Bucks, defend against Tetsuya Naito and Hiromu Takahashi. Could have seen that coming a mile away. IWGP Global Heavyweight Champion Yota Tsuji defends against Gabe Kidd. And then IWGP World Heavyweight Champion Zack Sabre Jr. defends against Hirooki Goto. So, yeah, should be pretty cool. But they announced all their dates. We got the New Japan Cup final March 20th. So that'll be running through March again. The Windy City Riot, which they've already announced Tanahashi's match. And I fucking blame
you know
what
I'm
going
to say something bold. Have Gabe Kinn win the New Japan Cup.
That'd be fucking huge and awesome. That would be awesome. Super Juniors is going to be in May. Osaka Joe Hall, June 15th, which I'm guessing is Dominion. And then, yeah, G1. Forbidden Door date is August 24th. G1 finals are the week before that. So pretty cool. Pretty damn cool. But they announced their whole schedule this year. So they're really getting ahead of the ball. Some really cool matches on there. I think we're both.
I'm
Drilla
definitely
Maloney
interested
finally
in that
being
card.
Acknowledged in singles. And if he's facing Shingo, he's a heavyweight now, Duke.
Yep. Oh, yeah. About and we've been talking about if he went into the heavyweight division, he could be the gaijin that steps up, you know. But obviously, we got Gabe Kidd right now. But hey, you always
the
need
more
to
the
have,
merrier. 100%.
You know, well, the way I think about that, Charlie, is, you know, Gabe's going to need a rival for that championship, you know? So,
absolutely. So, I guess let's take that into Dynamite.
The first match on the show wasn't the first thing on the show. We had a Kenny Omega graphic, which got the biggest pop of the night by a mile.
Yeah,
you know
it did.
And of course, you know, we all knew after, especially after the fucking match that Kenny came back with, of course, people are going to be fucking hyped for this guy. I guess I'll just take this moment to say that it's unbelievable what Kenny Omega was able to do coming back. I know we talked about it for like an hour on that show, but like, it's just what he's been able to do and the level of story he's coming back telling, you know, especially now that Brian's gone, it's just so easy to tell this guy is the best wrestler in the world. Now he has to earn that title back because Will is currently the best wrestler in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's going to be something that it's going to be.
He's on the right track and he's only one match in. So,
you know,
one match and one promo. So, you know, but anyway, so yeah. That being said, our next segment was a recap of those events that took place in Japan over the weekend. And then we cut back to the opening of Private Party's entrance. We have some shots coming down. They're arriving to celebrate a successful defense of their tag team championships on Collision last week. And the Hurt Business arrived, Charlie. And I got to tell you, when this first happened, I was like, oh, shit, are we getting a tag team join in this group? I wasn't expecting that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nope.
Even better. Even fucking better.
Exactly. And yeah, so yeah, basically they come up and they yuck their yum and say, yeah, we're taking a shot here in celebration of the Hurt Business becoming tag team champions. And they're like, oh shit, that's not good. So Mark Briscoe then comes out to face Bobby Lashley. And you know, I don't think this is gonna hurt Mark that much, but Bobby beat his ass. He did sell for him. He checked his ass around. Mark got saved by Private Party after getting beat down, after being put in the Hurt Lock. So, you know, obviously this is starting that feud. I guess this is probably the biggest complaint I would have about Private Party's tag team reign so far, is that we really haven't done anything. We did a four-way match, and then we kind of haven't really done a story for them yet. So this is a good way to get both the Hurt Business something to do right now. And, man, I hate to say it, Charlie – Private Party might win, but it might be a short title reign for these guys. Like, her business is kind of hot.
This is going to be fucking awesome. This is going to be an absolute blast.
Oh, yeah. The storytelling is going to be fun either way. But I'm actually wondering, they might lose these, dude, because even though Private Party are really popular, the Hurt Business are on fire. You know what I mean? Since they've never not been on fire. But maybe they don't need tag team championships necessarily. Although we have made the argument that maybe that's where Bobby should remain, you know? So I don't know. But. I don't know. We'll have to see where that goes, but I'm really interested in it. And Mark Briscoe getting a good match in there as well, continuing his momentum.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so the Casino Gauntlet match, obviously, we already talked about. And that was really good stuff. We obviously talked about how we're really excited for where Hobbs is going. We had a Christian Cage and a Hook video package. I'll be honest with you. It's dead. It's over. Yeah. Let it die. You know? Hook, I don't know. Hook's in fucking Hookville at this point. He's in
I thought the Hook and Nick Wayne match hit, but
yeah,
still just really not much follow up sense.
These matches he have are fine. They're good even, and they do nothing for him. I don't know what's going on with that. I have no idea. Like, either way. Jeff Jarrett.
I mean, look, no one wants to hear it, but Hook would be god tier in NXT. So
agreed. No,
no one wants to hear it, but it's true.
I don't think
he'd do it, and I don't think AEW would
No, I don't think. I don't think
they need their own homegrown young talent. But
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I don't know. I don't know what to do with Hook. But
god tier is the word of the day for me. Apparently. I don't know why I've said it 18 times.
Because that's a god tier term. Anyway. Aaron Riccoboni, the Riccobone Zone, was brought to the ring, and Jeff Jarrett was called out. Well, he wasn't called out. He was like, "Hey, Jeff, come out. Let's have a talk." And. You know, he asked if, you know, he still has what it takes to climb the mountain. He's like, "I don't know if I still have what it takes." And then MJF comes out because he has some things to say, Charlie. I did not think this is the direction we were going to be going with Jeff Jarrett this year, but I am so down.
Yeah. Yeah.
MJF thinks Double J is actually one of the only people, if he were to win the championship, that he thinks he would actually defend it against, you know, because he's actually got, like, legit history, he's a multi-time world champion, he's, you know, business royalty, you know, blah, 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 blah. But then he got super personal about the one-year deal that wasn't by Jeff's choice. Now, obviously, that's a storyline, but, you know, in storyline, you know, in kayfabe, if you will, Jeff was only able to get 1 year left. That's all Tony Khan was able to offer him because that's all he's worth to him. You know what I mean? So that was super personal. Told him the clock's ticking. He's got a year to prove himself. He said, "I'll help you out. I'll help you. If you help me to get the world championship, I'll give you the first crack at me." You know what I mean? Well, Jeff Jarrett's been around the block a few times, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how this goes. He's like, I don't need your help to win this championship. If I'm going to win it, I'm going to win it, you know? And basically called him on his bullshit, called him an entitled prick, and walked out. Left MJF speechless, which the only other person that's ever done that in history of AEW is the Butcher, which is kind of insane, you know? So,
yeah.
And maybe Jon Moxley a time or two. But only a couple of people in AEW's history have ever really done it. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I believe the Butcher and MJF's promo is still the number one video on YouTube for AEW.
It would have to be, I would think, because, yeah. I mean, that guy gets the clicks, you know? But anyway, I mean, I really enjoyed this. Like I said, I didn't think we were going to be getting MJF versus Jeff Jarrett, but I actually think this will be a really solidly good program. It may be a TV thing, because I don't know if this will make a pay-per-view.
God. It better be TV, right? There's no way.
Hey, it's MJF, dude. I don't know.
And again, someone else, if we were just hypothetically talking earlier, MJF can slide right into the title picture and no one would question it. Like, there's a lot of guys that Hobbs can feud with instantly. Or Christian Cage, if we get a new champion.
Correct. So, yeah.
Imagine those promos. Hey, yo.
Oof, oh, my God.
Cage and MJF?
Dude, you might have to fucking...
MJF might go full babyface again.
You might have to say, you might just have to fucking mute the audio because there's so much vile shit's going to be said that fucking... They might have to just... They might get banned off fucking...
Might get canceled off Max already.
Yeah, but like Max... the whole streaming service got canceled. Fuck. All right. So we flashed back to the public execution of Sir Darbington of the House Allen. AKA Darby Allin. He's dead, and they wanted to make sure we knew he was dead.
You'll be dead.
Hope arrived and tells us what he did when he's been hurt in the past. He got back up and won the match.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do to me, Mox?
This was good. This was good.
I can't be killed. I literally said in my notes, I am the Giga Chad Wardlow season is waking dreams. I am the Giga Chad Wardlow season is waking dreams.
His name is John
C. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Sorry. And then FTR blindsided the Death Riders as they were trying to make the attack, you know. Marina then caused a distraction, which gave the Death Riders the upper hand, and Hobbs came in to make the save as well. A lot of craziness happening here. The
absolute
promo was good.
Buffoonery is the way I fucking put it.
Fair enough. There was some buffoonery at the end with some fucking goons. But
wait,
you know,
did I write Dustin Rhodes in here? No, I'm tripping.
No, I'm guessing the same thing happens to me all the time in my notes where it'll autocorrect when I type one letter. You know what I mean? Like, and I won't even realize.
Did it autocorrect Death Riders to Dustin? What was I doing?
It must
hold
have been.
On. Yeah, hold on.
I'm guessing it was just a copy paste. Yeah, so it had to be because there'd be no reason for you to write Dustin Rhodes. Dustin Rhodes hasn't been on the show outside of Ring of Honor in like a month or two. You know what I mean? But at least as far as I'm aware, but he definitely was on something with Ring of Honor relation to it. So anyway, good stuff. I mean, I thought it was good overall. Like I said, the promo from Cope was really good, but then there was some buffoonery.
Yeah, really good, really good.
And we should
give these guys live mics, man. Yep. They can fucking cook. MJF, Cope, some of your stronger people
in the
Hobbs interview.
I think Mox is also a super strong promo. You know what I mean? I think if they actually get across from each other in a ring, like how we had.
I think Mox is a great babyface promo. Lately, his heel ones have been very good to kind of missing.
No, that's fine.
It's been a bit of a roller coaster with the heel ones.
That's fair. No,
he's a great babyface promo.
100%. I mean, bro made me want to fucking run through a wall multiple times. He's got my promo of the year a couple of different years in a row because of that.
The ball.
He wanted it. He took the ball. He has the ball now. What the fuck's he doing with it? Anyway, so Mariah May was backstage. Cut a promo. Interrupted by the... who wants a non-title match. She doesn't give a fuck for the championship. She just wants to do some hot girl grabs, man. All right, I'm in.
And we know that they're like really good friends in real life, just based off social media. Oh, if Mariah wants a new fucking henchman, hey.
She knows how to hench. We've seen it with Saraya and stuff, you know, so she can hench.
I think this pairing could work very, very well. Harley she brings that energy, man. It's infectious.
There's a reason why she was considered very heavily for one of our pillars, you know what I mean? So, you know, there's an argument for it, you know what I mean? So, So Toni Storm took on Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander in the number one spot for the Casino Gauntlet match that will take place at Maximum Carnage. Yeah, so the women's Casino Gauntlet thing was the thing we said that they should just do that last year, did we not? Like a couple of different times when they were doing these for the men.
Women's Blood and Guts, Women's Casino Gauntlet, just let it happen and let them cook.
Yeah, double Blood and Guts Dynamite, bro, where we open. Or we get Blood and Guts Dynamite and Blood and Guts Collision. Can you imagine? I mean, because we already do Collision. Rampage had Royal Rampage, right? Well, we're not going to have Royal Rampage anymore, so we can still do that Battle Royal and just call it like something else or something. I don't know. Maybe the Casino... Double ring, the double jackpot.
You could still call it Royal Rampage.
Oh, just like,
call it the match Royal Rampage.
The Royal Rampage, like, instead of...
Rampage is still a great match.
That's true. The Royal Rampage. Yeah, sure, fair enough. We could just keep that name because Rampage is... They own the name of Rampage probably anyway, so... But anyway, so yeah, you could do that.
there's options anyway, but the point is, yeah. You know, we should just run the women's versions of these matches 100%, because the women have proven over the last few years that a lot of times you give them the stipulation matches and they're going to do more with them than the men are, you know what I mean? And then it's made the men have to step up too. I mean, look at freaking Hangman Adam Page drinking blood out there to try and match the women, you know?
Ugh. The only gauntlet match that kind of missed was the tag one, which is why they've taken some time away from doing another.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's true.
This week's was good. I've got confidence in next
week. The tag one just didn't quite... It's like the tag team regular battle royal. It's weird. It's just tag battle royals have always been kind of weird. Tag everything is a little weird. You just got to find the balance in it. I think if you wanted to really do a tag team casino gauntlet, you got to have them both come out at the same time. That's so chaotic. You know what I mean? Like, because can you imagine? Like, even especially if it was a battle royal and two people came out at the same time and you're in by yourself, you're fucked. You know what I mean? So like, it could be a similar situation in a tag team situation. So, you know. Like, your teammate just gotten taken out by Lance Archer, and now they had two guys come in and take out Lance Archer, and now you're on your own. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, so there's some things you could play with there. But anyway, so yeah. So a rookie Tony Storm taking on two very experienced former champions in Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale here. You know, a tough test for the rookie, some would say,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
Really had to test her mettle here. And she's still really fucking good. This was actually, interestingly, in contrast to the other one, which actually kind of just felt like sort of just like a, almost like a triple threat, sort of like had like a lot of good pacing to it. And they kind of got all their stuff in. This was like a fucking sprint. And I love that. I love that the women are always willing to do something completely different than what the men do. You know what I mean? And I love all three of them. They put on a really show. And I think if what featured from everybody here was like kind of really interesting. So like, I guess the way that I described it in my notes was Willow had the power, obviously, and like the hard hitting sort of technique of Tony Storm, and that kind of was clashing against. And it's interesting. You're like, where does Chris fit into that? Because she kind of does both of those things, right? You know what I mean? And it's like, well, you kind of just have that contrast with each individual. So like, obviously, a powerhouse generally isn't the technical side of things, although Willow can do that, but it's not generally what they're showcased for, right? And so that would contrast. So Willow kind of plays, Chris kind of plays like a foil to both other wrestlers in this match for that reason. It's kind of interesting how you can work that in a triple threat sometimes. There's not that many people out there that I would say have the power and also the technique of Chris. It's a very few people out there that can pull that off, you know what I mean? She ends up hitting the Wednesday Night Fever for the win off the rookie. You know, it's tough to take a loss like this, but you know, when you're a rookie against two, you know, talented stars like that, you just, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And Tony Storm will have to build up after this. But yeah, I mean, Charlie, what did you think of this match? I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really fun women's match.
Yeah, really solid match here. Statlander, I like her getting the victory, actually. I'd like to see a scenario where the number one person does win the match. I'd be pretty down with that. So if it ends up being Stat versus Mariah May, that'd be cool. But I also think Mariah May versus Tony Storm makes a lot of sense for Dynamite, or not Dynamite, for Grand Slam Australia.
Yeah, if they're going to make this match like a regular thing for these casino gauntlet matches, like if every time we're going to do it, we're going to do this match as well, they need to have that mean something. Like, you can't just have, like, it doesn't matter if you get it, if winning it doesn't get you anything, right? So, you know, like, so Chris probably should win this match. But who knows? Someone else could come into the match that we're not expecting. I'll fully
it's still a win over
Jamie Hayter's fucking music hits. If we hit Jamie Hayter in that match, then I'm rooting for her. So, you know.
100%.
So, you know, because this is for the shot at Grand Slam Australia, right?
That's, I believe, the way it feels.
No, I think I said that, actually, I believe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, so, for February, Grand Slam Australia.
So whoever this is going to be needs to be ridiculously good. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that Chris isn't. I'm saying she would be. But I'm saying it needs to be one of the top women in the company. So
we're about a month out from that now, too.
Is this
what we
do, Charlie? Is this where Athena shows up? It could be.
Or maybe.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
I think it's just Tony because it's Australia. I think it's
that would make the most sense. But I mean, that was the idea in our heads when Tony dipped all that time ago after she lost the title, was that she was going to come back and they were going to do it at Grand Slam Australia, right? So, I mean, once we knew
it, did it bring you back to me?
Exactly. All right. And Tony Storm was backstage talking about not being ready for the big time yet and was honored to be in the ring with Willow and Chris. All right. It's time to talk about it. The most energetic fucking crowd segment, I think, for a promo that we probably had in a long ass time in AEW, Charlie.
Kenny motherfucking Omega return with an aura to his new entrance that I have not seen with Kenny. Maybe ever. You know what I mean? This was new. This was something completely different that I don't know that anybody was expecting. The only thing I can compare it to, and I'll break kayfabe for a second to say, remember the fucking aura when CM Punk first came back at fucking the first dance?
Oh, yeah, that Rampage.
Energy.
Yep.
Of the crowd, and he yep. didn't even know how to feel. Nobody knew exactly what they were going to do, but they kind of had just done these subtle hints with little things from Darby and a few other people hinting that maybe CM Punk was going to show up. And but we knew Kenny was going to be here this time, and that might have been the thing that's totally changed this, Charlie, because we had this guy coming off one of the greatest matches of the year, maybe the match of the year, really just depends. It could end up being it. Nothing may beat that this whole year, you know what I mean? And the crowd was ready to see this guy. This was 13 months in the making. And he kept it a buck with us, told us how hard it was to get back to where he is now. It was difficult. There were multiple times when he thought about giving up, which to hear somebody like Kenny Omega say that when I've watched him for a good portion of like this section of his career now, and I cannot ever imagine there being a fiber within this guy's being that would even consider giving up, because that just doesn't seem within him, you know what I mean? To the point where he let his body go, to the point where he nearly died because he was unwilling to compromise himself and what he believed he needed to do with his life, you know what I mean? Or whatever you want to phrase it, you know what I mean? And the thing that he said that resonated with me the most, Charlie, was that at the end of the day, it was people like me and you, people that are the sickos, people that love this shit in their fucking bones that brought him back to pro wrestling. When he could have just walked away, you know? And I just got to say that I'm so fucking glad to have Kenny back. It's been fucking... I'll be honest. There have been really, really great matches. There have been some really, really great storylines. But we've been missing Kenny. And it's been
He's the heart of AEW, it feels like. Hole
in AEW for a long time now. 13 months, right? So... And... Yeah, so I really hope that this was Kenny's, like, you know how people get, like, it feels like people get tested in their lives at points, like they have their big fucking test, like this is where you find out who you are, you know what I mean? I hope this was Kenny's.
Cause who do you think you are?
I cannot deal with losing this guy for another 13 months again. I don't even know at that point, you know what I mean?
Sad.
So... Yeah, I would be very not happy. And then Don Callis shows up. Dumbass, you know? And Kenny then immediately does the logical thing and tries to murder him, you know, for trying to kill him, you know? Because the last time he saw Don and his boys, they tried to end his career, you know? So, you know, probably not very
happy. Fuck that piece of shit!
Monster Machine then grabbed Kenny. Kyle Fletcher then showed up I referred to it to seal the deal, basically to seal that this is the story that Kenny's going to be going with as he comes back. It's going to be versus Kyle. Willard then makes the save. And we got the fucking stare down of the fucking century, Charlie, with fucking Kenny Omega staring down Will Ospreay in an AEW ring in 2025, which tells me, Charlie, that we're getting that match this year. And that gets my Jimmy's a fucking rustling, buddy. Oh, we're getting Okada versus Kenny and fucking Will versus Kenny this year, and Will versus fucking, or excuse me, Will, and we're getting Kenny versus fucking Kyle as well, and probably Kenny versus Danny, I would guess, because fucking, of course, Kenny's not going to miss on that match, you know, like, we're going to be getting the best of Kenny this year, Charlie. It's got me fucking so excited. I mean.
Yeah, just so you wait till All Out where it's Kenny Omega versus Kevin Steen.
Dude, if that, nah, he's not jumping ship, brother. But imagine if he does, though, that'd be insane.
Nah, brother, I've seen the future.
Nah,
I took a glimpse at it the other day.
Yeah?
That's why you're getting shot tonight.
Wait, are you Lisan Al Gaib now?
Lisan Al Gaib!
Oh, shit. I lost my prescient visions when I walked into the desert. Anyway, I chose not to see them anymore. No,
I lost my prescient visions like they're post-nut clarity.
Oh, shit.
I'm sorry.
Do you think Muad'Dib has post-nut clarity from fucking...
Hell no!
fucking missions.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah, that'll be the end of Dynamite for us, and that'll take us to K-K-K-Collision there, bud.
All right. Everyone put on your fucking tie. Cold open time. All right. We open up with Harley Cameron strumming her guitar. Mariah May will tear out her vocal cords. The Learning Tree, they make you upset that you watch wrestling. And then Rated FDR talk about cutting down the redwood. Elton John's music hits. Welcome to the show. First bout of the evening, we had Cope versus Big Bill. Cope defeats Big Bill. This is a return to singles action for Cope. Test of strength. He slams his head into the announce desk. Jericho is freaking the fuck out. Bill tied him up in the ropes, hit a big running boot that I thought was beautiful. Copia Dope was mentioned at this point in the broadcast about three times.
Sick as Castle Dope.
It would continue. References about how Jericho and Edge were former tag team champions. Bill took control, working the neck, the spine, really showing off his power in this match. I think Shivani has a crush on Big Bill. What would I do for a body like that? What would I do? You know what I'd do, my brother. That's basically what Shivani was doing. You know,
I could see Shivani enjoying a tall white.
Yeah. 7 feet tall, my brother. In the commercial break, Cope took control. So I didn't see what happened there. Jericho distracts Bill. He removes the turnbuckle. Cope hit a running powerbomb. There was a counter choke slam into an impaler. That was really fucking clean. He hits a spear. Run of the mill. 1-2. No shit! He kicked out! My God! My God! The crowd ate this up, dude. I ate it up. I thought it was over. I literally was getting ready to write down spear 1-2-3 like I normally do.
This is why I was like, bro, Collision just kept drawing me back in.
Yeah.
Because, like, Big Bill was treated like an actual, like, potential threat to Adam Copeland here, to Cope here. I appreciate that. You know what I mean?
We get the Cope nut shot. Bink! Little spear. The hammer and anvil elbows. It's all fucking working out all well. He chokes him out. That's a GG. Cope wins in his return, if you will. Post-match beatdown. Rated FTR arrive. And yeah, that's it for that. We get this was a pretty fun match, dude. And you were vibing with this when you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I do think Redwood benefited from this. I think
kicked out of the fucking spear.
Yes. What was it? Oh shit! They had like a fucking cool gimmick for fucking Big Bill in this, and I can't remember what it was. They called him something as he came in for the entrance. I forget what it was. I didn't write it down.
Yeah, I didn't.
Anyway, I kind of dig that he's not really just like a hench. He's literally like as much of a character as Jericho at this point. You know what I mean? Like he does as much with his own, like, I don't know. It's funny. Like I didn't think that the Learning Tree was actually going to feel like a legit faction, but it actually does at this point, even though it's only the three of them. Like they feel like the only one that's really not hitting right now for me is, Brian Keith. He's just, I don't know.
And I think that's why they always give him gimmicks to work with. Like he had the broom in the fucking cold open, I believe it was.
You know? Which is like,
they're giving him kind of the tools to try and get stuff like that over.
It feels a lot like when WWE would do this on the main roster. You know what I mean? Like, and it's fine. I mean, you have to give people something sometimes. Like, he's just trying to find who he is. You know what I mean?
Hey, it's getting him booked, which I guess is all we can really ask for.
And I listened to him talk with Jericho on Jericho's podcast about how just finding something to get yourself booked is way more important than actually being like given like a mega complex character that you can actually work into. Like he's got to get the trust to get to that point. I wish I would have remembered what I was writing this down about. I do think Adam Copeland has like one of the best comebacks in pro wrestling. And he just chopped on the tree. Oh, I guess it like a really nice power bomb. Bro, I don't know, man. Everyone hitting power bombs lately, and we're gonna have fucking Big Boom AJ hitting a power boom. I don't know, man. Bro's move I might be getting buried here, you know? Whatever. Now the power boom is like the Batista bomb. It specifically is way powerful for some reason. What is it? People always say, well, no, like you can hit the Scorpion Death Drop, but it's not as effective. That's why Sting kicks out because he knows how to hit it perfectly. It's like, okay, yeah, sure. You know?
Yeah, right.
It's it. Yeah, but yeah. I'm not saying Sting doesn't. I'm just saying anyway. But yeah, no.
So we had a Kenny Omega recap package, some Maximum Carnage ticket shilling. From what I've seen on Blue Sky, people are kind of hyping this up a little bit to be it's going to be like the Hammerstein Ballroom. So we should see like balconies and shit. Should be pretty cool.
That'd be cool.
Should have a really intimate setting, which I think works really well for wrestling. Hangman Adam Page time, where he's sulking in the back, you know, if you will. He tried to protect his family from the issues that fame brought. In one night, it was all taken away. He's ashamed of that incident and was ashamed he allowed it to happen again. He made sure that Swerve was going to lose the world championship, took his potential family home away, spilled his brains out in front of the world. He turned his attention to Christopher Daniels. He humored a long time. Who were humored for a long time.
Nah, he all but spilled his brains. He didn't kill Swerve.
Nah, he killed him. Nah, he killed him.
Swerve was on TV last week, Charlie. He's not dead.
That's a clone. Have you ever heard of the ways? No. Daniels was the first star of substance to see something in Adam Page when he was young, but he crossed the line when he put his hands on him. That's why he had to execute him. Order 66. Page promised to make him pay next week in a Texas death match. Daniels made his bed. And Paige would lay him down in it. He's going to kill that old man.
He's going to kill you.
Pretty cool match for Collision. Up next, we have Pac. I fully
expect that to be the only match that CD wrestles for the first half of this year, and it's going to be probably pretty good, you know?
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. Little payoff angle, too, for him being the EVP.
Yeah. Which I got no problem with. I remember even thinking that in my head, like if we have him do this non-wrestling angle for blah 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 months, and then you know Kenny comes back or whatever, then he can wrestle again because we don't need him to be the EVP anymore, or you don't need him to be the TV figure because presumably now that in my head means Kenny's going to be like GM basically, which is kind of cool. You know what I mean?
Be a fun way to play it up. Pac has returned. From what we got, I think from Sean Ross Sapp, she's pretty much saying now they just gave Pac some time off. Didn't need him. Didn't make him do all the flights. He came back, whooped Commander's ass. A really good showcase for Commander yet again. Pac hit a really good brutalizer at one point. You know, is there a world where Commando maybe gets the win and they set up a championship match for the Trios belts? It was cool to see the Trios title, by the way. And yeah, maybe that was the way. He went for a 450 splash, Pac up the knees up, brutalizer for the win. Easy money, 1, 2, 3. Just a fine, enjoyable match.
I don't know what you do with this match. I liked the match. It was a good match. I don't know. It also does feel a little bit weird that Claudio loses matches to people and then other people then have a match with him to get revenge. But what? Like,
yeah.
Shouldn't Claudio have wanted this match? Anyway. I don't know. I thought that Pac hit this insane sell on this Tilt-A-World DDT that Commander hit at one point. That was pretty gnarly. Outrunners being involved in this.
I was going to say, post-match, Claudio and Wheeler, the rest of the trio, makes their way to the ring. They start getting a beatdown. Outrunners made the save, and the upcoming match starts right then and there. Okay, this is a really, really good tag match out of the Outrunners. And it came against the main event act like the Death Riders. That's a good sign for them. This was a good, good fundamental tag team wrestling match. I liked the touch here of Claudio screaming at Yuta to finish the match. But he got annoyed, got pissed off, dragged him to the corner, forced a tag, hit a giant swing drop kick. And Yuta ended up getting cut off. Claudio hit Floyd with the gut wrench suplex, rocket launcher, and got the win. That right, dissension Charlie. Between Wheeler and Claudio.
You know? Figured out what happened here. So we know that canonically the Outrunners are bad only in one type of match, right? They usually do really good in tag matches, but when they're in a handicap match and the only other time that they've ever been in a tag match that was basically a handicap match with a similar situation where you had a mentor-mentee situation. I don't know how much Claudio was actually in this match for, but I'm assuming it was a lot less than Wheeler. So, in a sense, this was a handicap match.
He pretty much was fine, I'll do it myself.
So it was basically a handicap match for all intents and purposes. Now, even if it weren't, these are two really solid wrestlers, so if they lost to them, it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world. But I'm just saying, you got to look at the facts sometimes, you know?
100%. It'd be a fun nugget to follow, right?
Speaking of fun nuggets, did I catch correctly on commentary that Pac was 11-0 on Collision heading into the match with Commander? If that's the case, that's crazy.
That sounds right. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Shout out. So Commander did actually get something out of that tournament. He broke an 11-match winning streak for somebody on a show. To the match with Commander, not the loss to Commander. But if I were a booking person, I would have had him get beat by Commander. That would have made a lot of sense. You know what I mean? But whatever. Missed opportunities, you know?
Yeah. We get the promo from Hobbs ahead of his world title match. Said that everything John Moxley wanted was standing in front of him. He took initiative and won the gauntlet to earn a world title shot. Said that he'd been shot, stabbed, and left for dead. Moxley couldn't do anything to him. He'd make Moxley his bitch. God, I want this guy to be. I am so ready to embrace him as our guy.
Fella.
Oh, let him be the world champion. Come on.
I'm down.
I want to live in that fucking universe where that happens. And we just let the rest fall, man. Oh my God, could you imagine? And also, John Moxley did pick Hobbs to defend his IWGP World Heavyweight Championship against. There's a clear connection between the two. John likes this guy. So, I want to root so hard for it. And let me clarify one thing. Even if I was really enjoying this title reign, I would still think this is a good opportunity. I want to clarify that.
To me, that's the best times that you do title changes. It wouldn't matter if the person was hot or not. It would still be the right. If it's the right move, it's the right move regardless of
like
how
my,
you know?
My current vibe on this title reign has nothing to do with this. And I felt that way even how much I loved MJF's title reign, right? I thought Jay White, the opportunity presented itself. I thought it would have been a perfect time to do it. That's just, I want to clarify that just so no one's like, oh, you're just jumping at the first opportunity, yada, yada, yada. No. I genuinely think they've accidentally lined something up here. Non-title match, Mariah May defeated Harley Cameron. So charismatic here. She looked really good against the world champion.
It was a new entrance too as well for Harley, right?
Yes, with her singing. She can sing. She can dance. She's beautiful. She can wrestle. What more do you want?
Hot girl genuinely. Grabs.
Hot girl grabs. I guess I could have just said hot. Would have fit the gimmick, but... She's more than that. God damn it. I'm going to White Knight. I'm going to be Moon Knight. Fuck you.
Not after I get that skin that came out later.
Russian leg sweep. Enzikuri. Really good near fall there. And she hit a Storm Zero with a jackknife for a near fall. And then running knee Storm Zero for the win. So, promo from Daniels here. He watched Paige go through the worst year of his life. He's asked what Paige was angry that Daniels even had. Daniels was angry that Paige even had like the gall to ask him what he'd done in this business. Ran down his resume, and he's it was pretty cool.
No offense to Christopher Daniels, it wasn't a long resume to run down.
Yeah, no. It's all pre-AEW.
The two places that matter, right? Or three, I guess, because I don't think he ever was IWGP champion either. So, you know, if you want to say those three championships matter, that this one, the WWE one and the AEW one, like, or I guess I should say that one, the AEW one, and the, you know, I mean, like, so if you want to say those ones are the ones that matter, I don't believe he held the tag, he was tag champion, right? Am I tweaking? Was he just never a tag champion in AEW?
No, SCU is Frankie and Scorpio.
Yeah, so I guess that won that champ.
They just never acknowledged the Freebird reign, so no, he technically didn't win it.
Oh, well, shit.
I wish AEW would go against that. I understand why they don't, because they have the Trios titles, but the Freebird reign, I like that idea. Yeah, whatever. Brody defeated Trevor Blackwell with a Gonzo bomb. Brody and Julia were backstage with Lexi. He's interrupted by Cope. Said he respected King after the run-ins over the last year. Said it was time for King to take the reins and run. Again, they could be really working us over here, but I'm not mad about this. I think splitting up the House of Black, if, you know, they never hit their true potential in our eyes. Maybe they did by winning the Trios titles, and that is the ceiling for them, sure. But I would love Brody to stick with Julia, and I'd like Buddy to go separate ways. And it seems like that's what they're doing. If we get an angle where Brody's like surrounded by all these women with Julia and Sky, and maybe they recruit someone else to the group, there are some really good options here that could be really fun. Championship title defense. Daniel Garcia defeats Katsuyori Shibata. Pretty good match. He tried to match Shibata at Shibata's own game, and he made a step ahead of him, and it worked out for what it was. He was able to out-wrestle the wrestler and got a signature jackknife cradle victory. I thought it worked out pretty good for him. I probably would have main evented the show with this. I saw some other people mentioning that, and I just happened to agree with that thought.
It did feel a little bit weird having a championship match not be the main event. Every time they do that, it makes me go a little bit weird, but I mean, hey. Yeah,
I would like that, but this was a good title defense, and...
Well, Jericho's technically a world champion, so his match should go on last.
Womp, womp. Yeah, exactly. So, a video package with Renee hyping up the Women's Casino Gauntlet match. Jericho takes on and defeats Dax Harwood. Decent match.
Dax the X.
You know, there's many ways you could have gone about this. That they really tried to test each other's strength early on. Chop the Chop City. Walls of Jericho. Sharpshooters were laid in.
He's not able to punch, but he can chop.
He can. Cracked him with the ROH title. Long near fall out of it. Judas Effect for the victory. Cope and Cash ran down to make the save. Death Riders made their way to the ring. Outrunners came to even the numbers. John Moxley appears. Marina Shafir brings chairs out. Powerhouse Hobbs hits the ring. Moxley's laying out Claudio with a... Before laying out Claudio with a spinebuster, Hobbs, that is. Moxley then hits Hobbs with a chair. Hobbs no-sells it. Knocked the chair out of his hands. Chases him to the outside. Shafir cuts him off. Wheeler goes to jump Hobbs. Hobbs puts him through the announce table with a uranage. Just beautiful shit. Mentioned the title going off the air. Yeah, pretty much announced that all three members of the Hurt Syndicate would be in action against Private Party and Mark Briscoe on Dynamite is the closing angle.
Bro, by the end of a show, my notes get so diabolical. The way I wrote it in my notes was triple fusion concerto denied by Hobbert.
Just play that out of context. I was like, what the fuck do they even talk about? But everyone here knows what you're saying. That's the best 100%.
Part. Anyone that knows, like, the way that I refer, because, you know, everyone that's got a funny sounding name, I always try and find fun ways to, you know, to write it in my notes, because you got to write it 77 times. So, you know, like, you make it fun after a while, but I just had to share that.
And again, to no one's surprise, this match was completely shredded on cage match. I don't get people's obsession with wanting to hate everything Jericho does. I understand. If you don't like him as a person, or whatever the fuck your beef is with,
yeah, you may not like him like personally.
But this match, did it not deliver everything we wanted it to do? And it wasn't overly long. You could be upset about the spot it was in, sure, but that doesn't impact the match in a vacuum. So I just don't even know.
You can say what you want about Jericho, and you may not agree with him on politics. I certainly don't. But I could tell you this: Chris Jericho has. Probably had done, I'm sure, at points in his career, things that do it to benefit himself only, right? He's talked about this actually in interviews where there were times when he was selfish because he worked in the WWE where you had to be, right? That doesn't make it right. It just, you can sort of understand where that motivation came from to act that way, right? Doesn't mean that that's not how he would act anyway and isn't still how he acts. I'm sure that to an extent it is. I mean, look, he's main eventing this show. You don't think there was a conversation about that with Jericho?
This is 3 weeks in a row he's main evented too.
So there's obviously conversations happening where he wants to be when he's featured as a main angle. He wants to be in the main event. That's fine. That's Jericho has earned that right at this point in his career, you know? But that is not to say that Jericho is not immune to being an asshole. He can be. He has been before, you know what I mean? But the truth of the matter is, when they use Jericho now, they don't use him in some massive way that's going to take away from the main what's going on. Every time that they've put him in a main spot, he's delivered pretty much. So,
like, he's delivered to the extent we know he's going to. And I know that might sound like Cope, but what the fuck are you possibly expecting about this match? Sounds like Chris Jericho. Cope is the other guy. I just don't get wanting to hate the match before it even bell even rings. That's just something I've never understood in wrestling. I've never got behind that aspect. Dax had to do a little bit of a carry job here. And is that worthy of fucking rating it like a zero or whatever the fuck these mother... Like yeah, that's really?
Crazy. That's crazy.
Like, really? I don't know. And again, I don't want to sound like...
If you're rating something a zero, you're probably just rigging it so that it doesn't get better.
I know.
Numbers.
And it's like I didn't sit here thinking the match was great, but I didn't see it being the most egregious thing I've ever seen in wrestling. It's like, dude, what the fuck... I just don't even understand sometimes.
I think my favorite moment of the ending of this, though, was Mox hitting the chair on the back of Hobbs and him just being impervious to it, and Mox just looking, like, terrified. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I'm actually wondering, are they going to put the title on him? Because this is the only time Mox has looked scared since he did this. You know what I mean? So, like, there might be something to that. You know what I mean? Bro wasn't scared when he was facing three of the best wrestlers of all time. You know what I mean? Like
if the thing I disagree with the most is maybe not having Dax win, but is that ruin them? I don't even know. Like, whatever. Hey, that's the beautiful thing, though. If you passionately hate that, it is what it is. To me, it's just whatever. And maybe that makes it even worse. I don't know. Next week, Duke, we got Maximum Carnage, or this week. Whatever the hell you want to call it.
It looks like it's a loaded up card, too, from what I was paying attention to while watching the shows.
So Dynamite, Hurt Syndicate, MVP Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin versus Mark Briscoe and AEW Tag Team Champions Private Party, Quinn and Zay. John Moxley defends his AEW World Championship against Powerhouse Hobbs. Casino Women's Gauntlet match for the Women's World Title shot at February's Grand Slam Australia. Kenny Omega versus Brian Cage. Nice.
That's going to be awesome.
Good for Cage, man. Earning this spot. He's been...
That's going to be the best match in Brian Cage's career by a mile.
He's been biding his time for a long time now, just putting himself in whatever angle the company needs him in. He got Kenny Omega's return match to AEW. Good for him. That he earned it, in my opinion.
100%. He's done really great work in Ring of Honor. I actually am kind of disappointed. I mean, I'm glad with who they put it on with Commander because I think he deserves it. But I'm disappointed that he kind of deserved that TV title right now.
Hey,
put
Commander over, you know? I mean, 100%, he's always done what everyone's asked him to.
100%, so, and he's never complained about it, and the only thing he's ever said is that he just wished he got a little bit more respect, you know what I mean? And I think I've only ever heard him say that in the context of some people not understanding that he's not just a big meat man, you know what I mean? Like, yep.
It's absolutely not. Christian Cage versus Hook, which I think will be fine. I think the match will be fine, and we'll hear from Ricochet. So, AEW Collision, Maximum Carnage, Hangman Page versus Christopher Daniels in a Texas Death Match. I wonder if this is taping the same night. No, taping Thursday. Oh, perfect. They have it listed here. So, from the Andrew J. Brady Music Center in Cincinnati, Ohio. So, my first tape collision. I've enjoyed them being live. I really have. So,
live collision is always going to be better. But, I mean, a tape collision.
It's always
going
to hit a little better on the notes, you know? Because you can feel that. You can just, I don't know what it is about it. But it's when you know you're watching it live, it's.
I think you can just feel the crowd has a little less energy for the second show.
Okay, and they announced a fucking massive match. What the hell? Death Riders, John Moxley, Wheeler Yuta, Claudio Castagnoli. Teaming with the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho, the Death Riders are teaming with people? Big Bill and Brian Keith versus Powerhouse Hobbs, the Outrunners at FTR and Cope.
Okay, so they're losing that match, the Death Riders and the Learning Tree, and then they're murdering the Learning Tree afterward, and that's how the Learning Tree get written out of all this.
A 12-man match. I mean, I guess that makes sense following the end of Collision here, so that should be kind of fun. And hey, maybe that's Powerhouse Hobbs' first match with the new championship. Maybe John Moxley gets pinned by Hobbs here. There's a lot of ways you could go about this. Whoa, wouldn't that be ballsy? There's a lot of ways. And again, if Christian hasn't cashed in yet, keep an eye out here. John Mox is going to be wrestling on Collision. So it's taped. Never mind. But either way, maybe. Holy shit. There's a graphic for this match. I'm actually just going to live send this to you through our messaging. Dude, look at the fucking graphic here.
I can't wait to see what this is.
Actually insane looking.
All right, come on. Load up. Yeah, that's insane.
Look at all the
bodies in there, but they're all good.
That's a massive humanity.
That's like a pay-per-view graphic for a match.
Yeah. Top reply I see is just all question marks. Yeah, he probably didn't see Collision. That makes sense. Most people don't, but hey, that's why we're here. In case you didn't see it, we're here to fill in the gaps for you, and I hope we did a good job this week of maybe you missed wrestling, and you came to us, or maybe you enjoyed, maybe some things you're frustrated about, you want to hear us talk about. That's what we're here for. We're here to talk wrestling, and maybe there's some things you loved about that you want to hear us play.
We'll keep it 2 cents, we'll keep it a buck, we'll keep it a stack with you about what we do and don't like, and sometimes we'll be glazing on the schmeat, but that's just the way
we named our
sometimes.
Four pillars, and neither of them have been on the show in the past 2 weeks, so we haven't been able to glaze them up.
Not yet.
It's just the way it is. We're knocking it out of the park with our four pillars starting this year. So
our honorary pillar hasn't been seen or heard from in like a year. he might be dead.
I guess Kyle technically was on Dynamite in the beatdown, but
that's true. Kyle is holding it down for the pillars right now. We don't need to glaze him. We glazed him for like half of last year. He was like the constant glaze.
Maybe this is your first time checking us out. It's Kyle Fletcher.
Kyle was so glazed by us last year, he didn't even need any lubricant with his girlfriend. That's how fucking,
you know. Anna Jay and Queen Aminata are our four pillars of the AEW Eat Sleep Elite podcast. That being said, guys, thank you so much.
He doesn't need me anyway. That man's a fucking walking piece of fucking, anyway.
He's a fucking meat locker.
Yes.
Thanks for checking out the show, everyone. Hope to catch you next week. If you are in for more New Japan content, like I said, we're gonna be back on that again this year. That's gonna be fun to follow. So, yeah, I mean, look, maybe the people were geeking out about the American show from this past week. I have no idea. I have no idea. It was a little out of tune with everything this week. So, yeah. That being said, everyone, hope you enjoyed the show. If you have been watching Skeleton Crew ESE Fantasy, our other podcast, we're covering the finale tomorrow. Check that out. That's going to be a fucking blast. And yeah, we'll catch you guys on the flip side. You know what? We mentioned him today. We used him today. He's taking us home, buddy. Wardlow, I know we'll see you again. Take us home.